Colossians, the fourth chapter, please, and verse number 12. Hallelujah. Verse number 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. You know, part of our prayers is that people would be strong in the church and be perfected. Not halfway, not three quarters of the way, but all the way. Be complete in Him. Philippians, the first chapter, verse number 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing. I want to be confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform or complete it until the day of Jesus Christ or the rapture of the church. He started something in each and every one of us. But you know what? It's absolutely worthless if we're not completed. If we don't endure to the end. If we don't go all the way. If we don't finish our course. As Paul said, I fought a good fight, and I finished my course. There's going to be some fighting involved if you're going to finish the course, folks. Amen. Lord, we are grateful for your word. We're grateful for your presence and the liberty that we have to worship you in spirit and truth. And now, God, we ask, Lord, as we did this morning, that you would touch the word of God, not only through the speaker, but the hearers. We'll give you the praise. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thursday, my wife and I drove about 8.5, 9 hours to get home. We left at 7:30 in the morning from Kansas City, and frankly, I was tired. But instead of going straight home, we drove into the church parking lot. The asphalt contractor called me Monday and said he would be out to do some repair on our potholes. We needed a $40,000 repair, but I settled for $1,200 filling the potholes in our parking lot. I'm not saying that they were bad, but we lost a little child last month. We're not sure where he is. The bad asphalt has been an irritation all summer, so I finally okayed a temporary fix. It's not within my psyche to try to temporarily fix something. I want to permanently fix. I want to permanently fix you people. I don't want to just a temporary Sunday night fix. I want to permanently fix you. I don't want to fill the holes. I want to steamroll you. I was born with a malady, a compulsion to have everything just perfect. I'm sorry. It's just the way I was born. It's in my DNA. My marriage has survived my disorder. Thank God. Amen. My wife now, after almost 50 years, is perfect. Glory to God. And I, God has been working on me for 40 years, and I'm still not perfect. And you're probably still not perfect, but you got to stay in the process. You know, as I walk around our beautiful church, I see little flaws It's part of me. I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the building. You were all perfect. I see wrinkles in the loose carpeting. It drives me crazy. I'm sorry. You people can trip over them and not even see them, you know? Wallpaper that the seams are giving out, and I just want to come over here with some kind of glue and fix them. Lights that need changing. Tomorrow they're picking up 5 pews to reupholster them because there's rips on the ends and the sun has faded them and deteriorated them, and so there's $1,200 worth of that. And we just got a brand new soundboard. It looks like it could control the space shuttle. It's upstairs, and we're going to have to reconfigure our sound booth because it's just too big for it. And it was $22,000, and in 90 days, we have to pay the balance. And it hasn't even bothered my 15 minutes sleep at night. It doesn't bother me hardly at all. Please don't pray for my malady. I don't want to be delivered because my God is just like me, or vice versa. He loves perfection. He will not stop until all of the wrinkles are gone, until all of the seams are perfected. He will not stop until I'm perfectly upholstered with His righteousness and His sanctification. I want to be just like Him. And I wonder how many times He walks the aisles of this church and says, there's something that can be improved. There's something that can be improved. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Our building project was a challenge for me, but even more so, it was a challenge for our contractors. And 4 years ago, I'm so glad that I survived. I met Jim Hines, who's the general contractor. I met him at a conference, and when he saw me, he said, Pastor Schumacher, you know, of all of the churches that he has done, he remembers me, because every day I was talking to him about, you know, you ought to do this and you ought to do that, you know. He said you were so involved. Nobody was involved like this anyplace else. And, of course, his son-in-law, you know, we had some situations. He was the project manager and didn't do things the way exactly I wanted them. And so he was going to throw him off the job until I said, you know, why don't we have him come to our Tuesday night Bible study? And he was eventually filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. And so, glory to God. He said, he really, really remembers me. The challenges were every day, but 4 years ago, we finally were finished, and it is a great memorial to God and the people, because when people walk into this building, they see how important God is because of the investment we made in the building. The building won't attract God, but it'll demonstrate to people how much we love God. And keeping the building the way it's supposed to also identifies how much we love God. Our perspective sometimes is to focus on the whole task instead of the immediate steps in front of us. And that's our downfall, because when it doesn't happen immediately, instead of baby steps, one step at a time, we get out of focus. We will never see a completion if we don't take the first step. A college degree starts with kindergarten. Many multi-millionaire companies started in somebody's garage, including Apple. Heaven will never be a reality if you don't want to be a part of the church. Oh, I want to go to heaven, but I don't know if I want to be faithful to God's church, you see. I don't know if I can stand some of the people I have to sit next to. Well, you won't be very comfortable in heaven if you're not comfortable in God's church. Some years ago, my friend Bill Sisko, I met him at a general conference, and about 4 years before that, he said, you know, Brother Schumacher, I feel like I need to write this book. And I said, that is just an outstanding topic. And then I met him years later. I says, how's that book coming? And he said, I thought you were my friend. Paul said, have I become your enemy because I tell you truth? There are some people who said, I love you, Pastor. You're such a wonderful man. What a sermon. Oh, you're so good. Until one day, something I've said, something I've asked him to do. Michelangelo is credited with creating 44 statues in his life. However, he only finished 14 of them. There's even a museum in Italy dedicated to his unfinished works. Unlike God, there won't be a compartment for unfinished saints. There's only a place for finished saints. There's large chunks of marble with only a hand or a leg finished. What masterpieces they might have been, but he never finished. For being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform or complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We don't have to do this thing by ourselves. We got somebody who's grabbing our arms, somebody who will lift us up, somebody who will encourage us in the middle of the night. God never leaves anything he started unfinished. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. You just have to stay in the process. Take a look at Luke, the 14th chapter, please. Luke chapter 14, verse number 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intended to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost whether he have sufficient to finish it? I see people coming in the church and they see baptism in Jesus' name. They see the things that they need to do, repent and be buried and resurrected with the Holy Ghost. But then they look around and they see that there's a cost. You have to count the cost first. If you're going to start this thing, you better count the cost. Because you can't just run a little while and sit out someplace. Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Glory to God. So we find that there is a cost, there is something that we have to pay, we have to consider. The board met with contractors for literally months before we ever dug a hole. I met with banks for months before we ever got a loan. I spent a month getting the right appraiser in order to say, okay, you've got the value here, you see. We have all driven past the shells of unfinished houses. You wonder, what caused them to stop the construction? I remember going to my office in Hill's Corners for something like 7 years, driving by this basement that was capped. There was no walls up, but there were people who were living in the basement. I don't think they intended to live in the basement. They intended to build a house. But somehow, they stopped. They obviously had the highest hopes of living in their dream house, but they didn't finish what they had started. The lot was purchased, the plans were drawn, the permits were pulled, foundations poured, walls erected, but then the construction stopped. There's nothing that grieves me more when I see somebody making a start to live for God. There are people who I've taught Bible study after Bible study too, and persuaded them, and they were experiencing the loving touch of God Almighty in their life, but then they stopped. And every time somebody drives by that incomplete dream, it's an indictment against them of what could have been but wasn't. Hallelujah. I've baptized so many people with hopes and dreams of becoming something great for God, and then the foundation was laid. They had their permit found in the Word of God, the right to start building. They started to build according to the plan. Their lives started to take shape. They were willing to pay the price to see it completed, but then something stopped the construction. The cares of life showed up on the job and shut it down. Or someone criticized their lifestyle and they walked off the job because they just didn't feel like we could ever complete the house. It's not you. He changed our heart and put a spirit within us that caused us to want to walk in His statutes. Hallelujah. We couldn't possibly do this without the power of God within us. We can't possibly do that without hearing the Word of God. I walk by them all the time. I see them in malls, at gas stations. An incomplete life, obvious to those of us who are still building, that their house is just not complete. They stopped. It makes me want to weep. Makes me want to grab them and shake them and say, what's wrong with you? Why would you trade what God has started in your life for something that is so empty, so worthless, at the end of your life you've got absolutely nothing? And I wonder, what went wrong? What went wrong that they weren't able to complete that which God started? He said He is able to finish what He has started. Not you, but He is able to finish that which He started. Maybe they lost the excitement of building for God. There is nothing that causes a man or a woman to get more excited about God but investing in the kingdom of God, investing in a ministry, investing with their finances, investing with prayer and fasting. When you're investing, if you're building for the kingdom of God, you don't have to worry about backsliding. You don't have to worry about not having excitement for God at all. Amen. Hallelujah. Or maybe it's they just didn't show up on the job on a regular basis. I remember in 1980, I started my insurance agency without one customer. I remember colleagues saying, you can't do it. But I went to an insurance company and said, I need an appointment. And it was every day doing what I knew I had to do. Didn't happen overnight. It was every day continuing to do what I had to do. 2 years later, I remember standing by the copy machine, and there are some things that just this are buried in your mind. You'll never forget them. And I thought, you know, this thing has become a success. And how has it become a success? Because I did the same thing every day consistently over and over and over. And that's how you become a successful Christian, by doing it over and over and over. Oh, it's a rut, but the rut becomes a place where the enemy can't get to you, a foxhole, if you will. It was one day at a time doing what I needed to do. Many said it would never survive, it couldn't be done, but God does not sponsor flops. Anybody who wants to be successful in this church can be successful at whatever they put their hands to. That's what Psalms 1:1 tells us. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, it's not us. Amen. It's God. There's not an obstacle that we can't overcome when God is in our corner. There's only one person in here that scares me, and I'm wearing his suit. See, there's nothing that can keep me from God except me. And when I have a bad attitude, if I get to that place where I become embittered, if I have an excuse because somebody else didn't do something right or somebody else isn't perfect, it would be so easy for me to say, we're stopping the construction now. Is there really any use in continuing the build? Would you turn to Romans, the 8th chapter, which has already been confirmed? Romans 8 and 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession. Can you imagine that God is praying for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded. Paul, he's persuaded. That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Except us. He gave us a free will. And someone can persuade us to stop construction. We're more than conquerors. We can't let the cares of this life or criticisms of people stop our completion. What is happening is the enemy of our soul will find recruits who will tell you, it's not important. Take a break. Don't worry about it. It's not necessary. And then instead of running, you're walking. And then instead of walking, you're standing. And then instead of standing, you're sitting. And then you lay down. And then you die a spiritual death because somebody convinced you that you don't need to continue to build. Would you turn to Matthew, the 13th chapter? Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 18, Jesus said, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and receives it with joy. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. So we find that there are too many people who let the cares of this life and the criticisms of people stop their construction. I'm sorry. It's not the way I do it. There are too many things that can prevent us from God's completion of his master plan for our lives. There was an Old Testament character by the name of Zerubbabel. His name means born in Babylon. Each of us were born in Babylon or captivity. We're born outside of the kingdom of God, and that's why we had to be born again. Under the leadership of Cyrus, he gained permission to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. That's us too. We're being rebuilt right now. You see the parallel to our lives? We are all in the process of rebuilding our lives, and the enemy wants to stop the construction and the process to perfection. Well, he laid the foundation, but then there was a 17-year delay that followed the start of the construction, and people mocked him and said, "This will never be completed." But God moved on the man of God, Zechariah, to encourage Zerubbabel. Now, there are some who get to a place where it seems like there is no progress happening. And then there are the Zechariahs in our congregation. There are those who are in the Spirit who will encourage you. Come on, you can get through this. Come on, you can grow, you can finish, you can come to completion. But God moved on the man of God, and he encouraged him. Now, how many think preaching is important? Amen. Hallelujah. Last Sunday morning, someone came to me and said, "You know, I had this question. I've never heard anyone preach about what happens after somebody dies. And then I walk in here and you preach the exact same thing," and tears were streaming down her face. You know, God has a tendency to, you know, filter that from the congregation through the narrow mind of the preacher so he can encourage you to go beyond where you normally would. Hallelujah. That's why coming to church, that's why the preaching is so important, because it's handing you a nail gun. It's handing you some tools in order to finish the construction. Hallelujah. Zechariah 4:9 says, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you." Too many people have good intentions in the beginning. I love it when people are filled with the Holy Ghost. So many times they come to me and say, "Pastor, just tell me what I have to do. Just tell me, is there anything that you want me to do? Is there any toilets you need to be cleaned? Is there anything I can do?" You know, in the beginning, I'm so excited about it. And then later on, it's, "Well, that's not my job." Man, they make great commitments to God of what they will do or won't do. But then they get distracted by the cares of this world, or they are criticized by family members or friends or co-workers. So they leave off building the house of God. But not so with God. What he starts, he finishes. I'm a testimony. Your testimony. Only God could keep you where you are. Only God. There's not one of us that have gone through troubles, bumps in the road, situations that weren't easy to overcome. But then God sends a Zacharias to us and encourages us. Come on. you can make it. This is a support group for people who used to be sinners and are now saints. Hallelujah. Amen. In order to be a saint, you have to have three miracles. You do. Repentance, baptism, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I didn't realize that until just now. Lord. You know, he started his creation of the world in 6 days. It's finished. Amen. If he can finish the world that was void and without form, why can't he finish us, folks? Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 22, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." He didn't say he that endureth to the middle, three quarters, nine tenths. God is coming back for a finished house. Amen. Amen. When we were building our addition, I was happy to see every contractor show up. It was so exciting because I knew if they were here, there was progress that is being made. When I come on a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening and on a Wednesday, I am so happy when all of the contractors show up because I know that some progress that is being made. If they don't show up, I'm thinking there's some things that aren't being finished. It's going to take longer in order to get them finished. Amen. Hallelujah. But there was one person I wasn't very happy to see. The building inspector, you know. There were always things that he didn't like and that had to be changed. Sometimes it meant tearing things down that had already been constructed. But then I realized that his inspections were really good for us. Years later, we just don't want the roof to collapse. We don't want the electric to cause a fire, and we had to have his approval in order to take occupancy. Now, God wasn't very fussy about moving in the first time, but staying in the house. Church, every service, the building inspector shows up. See how you're doing, how you're wired, how you're constructed. Are we building according to his plan, or are we building according to? He won't move into some shack. You know, I know there are churches today that are under our same banner, folks, and they believe that building according to his plan is not important anymore. And when we don't build according to his plan, then we have to get all excited about some music situation or some special event, you know. When God's saying, I'm just happy to be with you people because you're still under construction. Hallelujah. He may even stop our construction and force us to tear down some things that don't look very good. Oh, man. I thought I was building according. No, I'm sorry. It's got to go. And I'm going to get that dumb pastor to tell you exactly what to tear down. Why? Because he will not occupy bad housing. Philippians 1 and 6 said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I want to be ready when the trumpet sounds. I want to be taken out of here, but he's going to have to give me that permit. In Revelation, John saw into another world. He saw a city with gates of pearl, streets of gold, walls of jasper. I'm going to see those things. I'm going to be there. I'm going to walk on streets of gold, folks. Everything John saw was finished. Everything was complete. Some people get the idea that after Jesus ascended into heaven, he was putting the last minute touches on heaven. And of course, that's not the case because he finished the earth after he finished heaven, yet he had one project that wasn't finished here on earth. Glory to God. You know, I've been in some spectacular cathedrals in Europe and even Mexico that are, it just, this looks like, well, okay. But people sacrifice for cathedrals. The problem is they put all the emphasis on the shell and nothing on the inside, folks. Great fireplaces without fire. John, the 14th chapter, please. So familiar. Verse number 1, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." I've said this so many times. That means singing bodies. It doesn't mean your English tutor. "If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye shall be also." Now, he wasn't saying that I'm going to heaven to finish up. He was going to the cross. He went to the cross to prepare a place for you and I. He died on the cross in order to make room for you and I in heaven. Amen. Glory to God. And the last words Jesus spoke before he died on the cross are found in John 19 and 30. It says, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." Vinegar was used to wipe out the ink on the note of death. What he was saying is, I've wiped it all away to those who will go according to my building plan. Hallelujah. Our God went as far as he could to see that we would be complete in him. Hallelujah. And now he would rather take up occupancy in you and you and you than any kind of beautiful architectural building. Hallelujah. Please don't leave this life unfinished. Don't stop the construction for any reason. Let the master builder shape you into his desire for your life. What God started, God is going to finish. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. One last scripture as our musicians come. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse number 1. It's a charge to a young preacher, Timothy, from Paul. He says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reproof, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine or teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears." There's going to be people who are saying, you know what? You don't have to build that way. It's not important anymore. Those building codes are obsolete. You can do it this way. No, you can't. Amen. Not according to his master plan. "And they shall turn away their ears from truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and my time of departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, or because of this, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." I know it sounds like a story that can't happen, but there are crowns for those who love God and will continue to preach the word and not deviate from it, folks. Hallelujah. I was saying to my wife this afternoon, so many of the patriarchs that I was under, Brother Kilgore and Brother Urshan and Brother Cole and Brother C.M. Becton, Brother Haney, all of these patriarchs, now they're gone. They're gone. And some of you young people have to stand up and you've got to say, no, we're going to live according to this. I don't care how many say it's not important. Hallelujah. I'm not looking for a teacher having itchy ears. I'm not looking for somebody who's going to make it easier for me. I'm not looking for building without a permit. Oh, we could do this faster. I'm telling you, we can get this thing going in 6 months. No, you can't. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to thank you. I thank you for putting up with me because I am a perfectionist. It's just who I am. And I want things the way they should be. And I really believe that there's an advantage to that because God's looking for some perfection in this church, not, well, we're going to grade on a curve, you know, going to water it down. It's not important anymore, because it is important, folks. Church, I was reading the other day about the high priest and what they had to wear in order to go into the holiest of holies. They couldn't mix garments. They had to wash before they got into the presence of God. God told them what kind of underwear they would wear. Now, folks, if God was so concerned about what the high priest wore and how they presented themselves before God, how much more just before God comes? Hallelujah. You want to respect God? Dress with the best that you have when you come to the house of God. It doesn't have to be expensive, but it should be your best. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm done yelling. Glory to God. Would you stand with me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I had a pastor that I heard say over and over again, you know, you can jump as high as you want, but when you land, you should be living for God. You know, we need to have liberty in the house of God like I preached this morning. Radicals. But so radical that we want to live the best that we can for God. Because it doesn't matter how high you jump. It really matters how you're really living for God. Amen. And thank you. Thank you for being who you are. The altar's open. Would you come?